From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Johns Hopkins wants to create its own police force on its campuses, sworn officers with arrest powers, many of whom would carry guns. JHU President Ronald Daniels points to rising crime, like 16 armed robberies on the Homewood campus last fall, to argue that winning state authority for such a force is urgent.
We have an education, research, and clinical mission, but without good policing, without safety, you put all those things in peril.
But while Mayor Pugh backs the plan, some city council members and state legislators have reservations, and many students, like Andrea Fraser, vehemently oppose it.
It violates public health ethics not to have the trust of the community before you're moving to these kinds of safety measures that are supposed to serve and protect us.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord at WYPR.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Perhaps now more than ever, the desire to bolster security on academic campuses is top priority for institutions across the country. But security comes at a cost and has different levels, such as armed versus unarmed. Johns Hopkins University is seeking authority from the state legislature to form its own private police force, sworn armed officers, which the university contends would keep students and faculty safer. In a city with a troubled history of police accountability, Johns Hopkins' proposal is being met with questions and opposition from students, from some city leaders, and some citizens. Later in the show, we'll hear from a national campus safety expert about how other institutions have approached security concerns, and we'll hear from a Johns Hopkins student. With us now is Johns Hopkins President Ronald Daniels. Welcome to the show.
Delighted to be here.
Why is a private police force something Hopkins is looking for right now?
So Johns Hopkins has about 1,000 personnel who are involved in security across our campuses within the city. And these are unarmed security personnel who patrol the campus, who are eyes and ears on the ground, and who essentially work to keep us safe. We have, over the last several years, particularly in the wake of the unrest and the increase in violence that the city has sustained, following the unrest, we have increased substantially the resources that we're investing in protecting the campuses. Over the last, I guess, half year or so, despite the fact that we have, in the case of the Homewood campus, where our undergraduates are located, doubled our budget for security, doubled our personnel on the streets around the campus, we have found that we're just not having the kind of deterrent effect that we think is essential to protect the safety of our campus. And it's in that context that we have gone out and visited other campuses that have had similar experiences in an urban setting in managing crime around their campuses. We've sought the Council of Outside Security Experts and have come back with a firm view that although we have a comprehensive security program, the time has now come for us to add a presence of sworn police officers to our total campus security force.
What will that do? What will a sworn force be able to do that your fairly large security guards now cannot?
I think quite simply, having people who are trained and have the ability to intervene in the commission of a crime and make arrests is something that we think is an important component of a security force. That's not to say that by any measure are these sworn police officers going to be the majority of personnel in our police force. What we're contemplating initially is perhaps 25 total armed police officers who will constitute a segment of the force, but still the vast majority of personnel in the force will be unarmed, and that's will continue to be the approach that we take to policing and security on the campuses.
As near as I can tell, the legislation that you have proposed to the General Assembly is going nowhere in this session of the General Assembly. 11 days before the end of the session, it has not been voted out of a House committee and has not even been scheduled for a hearing in the Senate. What is your plan for pursuing your proposal?
So we're still hopeful that the legislation will be considered by the Assembly. There's a hearing that is scheduled for Friday with the city delegation. And our hope is that this will, again, afford us an opportunity to make our case, and in particular, to demonstrate that we have heard the concerns, the criticisms of various members of the community. And again, the community here defined quite broadly inside and outside of Johns Hopkins, and have in the next draft of the legislation responded in a comprehensive and, I believe, quite substantive way to those reservations. And here I would say that what we're now hopeful will be enacted by the Assembly is, I'm confident saying, the most progressive legislation governing the creation of an armed police force on any campus in the United States.
That's Ronald Daniels, president of Johns Hopkins University, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Hopkins' proposal to set up a force of sworn police officers on campus. Why did you start with the state legislature as opposed to a big community conversation? Because, as you know, many people in the community and students say they felt blindsided when they heard early this month that you were going to the legislature with a proposal like this.
I think the first answer is that what the legislation contemplates is only giving the power to the city to commence a conversation with us in the creation of a memorandum of understanding around how we would govern the police force. So that this is exactly the same kind of legislative mandate that the other universities in the city of Baltimore that have this power, Coppin, Morgan State, University of Maryland, University of Baltimore, they have the same enabling legislation that is a start of the conversation with the community. And before we are able to hire a single sworn police officer, we have to go through a public process around developing that MOU to get feedback on it and to ensure it meets the expectations and standards of the community. So I think the critical issue from our perspective was we're in a very urgent situation to be able to tamp down the level of crime around the campus. We had a terrible fall. We had more than 18 robberies, 16 at gunpoint around our campus, the Homewood campus, in the fall, and a similar number in East Baltimore. And so it's in that circumstance that we decided, after some deliberation, that this was an egregious omission, that we were missing this component of a proper security framework. So we moved quickly to get the legislation, albeit late in the session. But our sense was always that the public consultation, the deliberation around precisely how we develop this force and the kind of accountabilities that we would be responsible for would come later. Again, nothing happens after the legislation is passed. We have no capacity to do anything until the MOU is concluded with the city.
You said at the Charles Village Civic Association meeting on Monday that it's your job over the next few weeks to meet with student groups. I mean, how do you make this public conversation, this public consultation happen?
So we have had several town hall meetings, several community meetings already over the last couple of weeks, and those meetings are continuing to be scheduled. We have our web is posting the rationale for what we're doing, and we're hoping later today that we'll have the amended legislation up for reaction, and I'm hoping that when people see that, that their concerns will be allayed, and in fact, perhaps even excited by the possibility that this represents for developing a sound framework for policing. But in all these ways, there's ample opportunity for public participation. And certainly, the legislation as amended contemplates an open hearing process that will take place over the next several months and multiple hearings to, again, get feedback around the MOU as it is developed. So there will be no shortfall in the scope for public participation as this MOU is developed.
Part of the concern, apparently, that some in the public have voiced and students have voiced is that Hopkins would be culling from the Baltimore Police Department, which does not have a positive reputation with many of Baltimore citizens. How do you respond to that?
The force that is being contemplated here will be independent of the Baltimore City police department. It is a force that will be accountable to the university, to its trustees.
And but you so, have hired former Baltimore Police Colonel Melissa Hyatt to be in charge of it.
Who has an absolutely exemplary reputation. So before we hired her, and she was hired after an open search process in which we saw a number of other candidates, but we spoke to several community groups within Baltimore who have concerns about policing within the city, and they said simply that you've got a superstar. Go ahead, hire her and entrust her with the leadership role. We know that she can do the job. So you know, we will take the view that her job will be the slow, steady, very deliberate recruitment of this police force and to simply find the best possible candidates for our police force wherever they're located. We are determined that the police force that we create is representative of the city of Baltimore so that, again, in the legislation as amended, and this responds to concerns we heard from the community, will articulate a priority for a diverse police force and in particular for a police force that is drawn from the residents of the city of Baltimore. And again, we think that's an important approach for us to take so that you have people who are vested with the responsibility of protecting the campus and the broader community, but who really are of the city and understand the city.
The other universities you mentioned as already having their own police forces, are all public universities. They are controlled by the state. That is not true of Johns Hopkins. Do you see that as a different challenge?
So first, it is true that the existing universities in the city of Baltimore that have this power are public universities. But what the legislation does, as amended, is to ensure that all of the accountabilities they have through any mechanism in relation to their police force are replicated in the case of our police force so that there is no difference. And indeed, I would argue, because this would be a more contemporary statute, that we have substantially gone beyond the governing framework for existing Baltimore institutions and how we are ensuring that the best practices in community and constitutionally based policing are delivered. More than that, It's really important. This is to underscore, and this goes to the rationale for why we are moving as quickly as we did, is that as we went out and I toured with several leaders from the university, several peer institutions nationally in the late fall of this year, all those institutions which we saw were private universities, University of Pennsylvania, University of Chicago, University of Southern California. And in each of those institutions, we were reminded of the fact that the dominant practice against the Ivy Plus peer group in which we were operating is to have a segment of your security force that consists of sworn police officers. So, you know, the nub of the issue is for us that we know what the accountabilities look like based on these other police forces. We know what good policing looks like. We know how you adjust it for a campus environment in a diverse city setting. And we're confident that we can do the same at Hopkins. The other thing, again, that is critical for us here is that, you know, given the level of violent crime in Baltimore, and it's something that we all are deeply concerned about, but the fact that the vast majority of our peer institutions have this component to their security force, and we are sitting in the most violent city now in America, how can I, as the head of Johns Hopkins, justify a practice which is wildly out of step with our peers? That is to say, you know, this is now understood as a best practice, empirically validated way of increasing the level of protection in a campus environment. And what's a justification that I have to the many members of our community who are alarmed by the rise in violent crime and saying why it is that we think we should deviate from this practice? And that's really the reason why we have this urgency, is a sense that despite all the spending, the efforts that we're making, we're just not tamping down the crime around the campuses to create an environment that is safe for our community. And that's the wellspring of everything. You know, we have an education, research, and clinical mission, but without good policing, without safety, you put all those things in peril.
Thanks for walking us through your thinking. Thank you.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
That was Ron Daniels, president of Johns Hopkins University, which wants to set up a private force of sworn police officers on campus. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Joining us now is Andrea Fraser, a graduate student in environmental health and engineering at Hopkins. She's participated in events organized by Students Against Private Police, a coalition of 15 student groups at Johns Hopkins. The coalition has organized a rally and march, phone calls to elected officials, and a petition opposing any proposal that would give Johns Hopkins University authority to create a private police force. At this time, the petition has more than 2,500 signatures. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
What are your concerns about private armed police?
So we have a few concerns. Some are on the process that the university has taken in rushing this bill through and really neglecting community input in our engagement. The other relate to police in general and the fact that this is only one method for addressing the very real concern of violence in our communities. We feel like they're neglecting a lot of the other opinions, and they're neglecting additional public health research that supports our concerns and the fact that we need more community engagement and we need to not rush through this process. And students have very real concerns about racial bias in policing, as well as a mistrust towards the university with the way sexual misconduct has been handled in the past and campus climate in general.
Well, Johns Hopkins officials who are putting forth this proposal say there's a lot of crime around campus. They point to 16 armed robberies around the Homewood campus between August and December of last year. And the question is, what is the best way to protect you and other students and faculty? They say it's a sworn force of armed officers. You say no, because?
So we recognize the very real concerns people have about their safety and dangers with crime in the city. What we're saying is that any safety initiative should be driven by the community and not by the administration. And given the overwhelming response of people who are upset with the way they're proceeding with this process and their very real concerns about policing in general, I think we need to talk about police as a community, and they've pretty much decided without giving us the chance to have a conversation about what policing means for our community.
One of the things that President Daniels says is that getting the legislation that they hope to get from the General Assembly is just the first step. It's just the basis on which they can then negotiate a memorandum of understanding, and that they intend to have a lot of conversation in the community. Do you find that reassuring?
Not at all, because they need to have the systems in place now to hear our voices, and they don't have that in place. They have the most we heard about this was an email sent out to current Johns Hopkins associates, saying that they're going to proceed with legislation. And that's really what outraged people, is that this is the first step. We don't believe the first step is proceeding to get legislation so that they can start making rules and have a police force. They also, in these public meetings, talk about their intent to have cops on the ground by this time next year.
So you don't think it's important to move that quickly? Because that is exactly what they're saying, is we couldn't wait until the next session of the General Assembly. We needed to do it this year. And you're saying no.
So their argument is that they couldn't wait till next year to do this. And in response is, then why weren't they doing the work necessary in the community before they went ahead with this? It violates public health ethics not to have the trust of the community before you're moving to these kinds of safety measures that are supposed to serve and protect us. There's no community advisory board even involved. Even if there was, who's to say that that would involve people that are poor, people that don't have access to these kinds of systems? They don't have equitable and culturally competent systems in place to even put this legislation forward and to hear our voices, let alone to run a police force that they're claiming will be better than any police force that has ever existed, more or less. They're asking for our trust when they haven't built it.
What would you need? What would need to be in place for you to be comfortable continuing the discussion?
They need to pull the bill and really work on building trust before they are asking us to trust them with what they describe as an extreme privilege that they haven't earned.
I really appreciate your summarizing your opinions for us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andrea Fraser, a graduate student in environmental health and engineering at Johns Hopkins University, is a member of Students Against Private Police. earlier, we spoke with Johns Hopkins President Ron Daniels. Quick break now on the record. When we're back, we'll ask a national campus safety expert about the successes and challenges at other schools. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Johns Hopkins University's proposal to set up a force of sworn police officers on campus, some of whom would be armed. We spoke earlier with Hopkins President Ronald Daniels and with Andrea Fraser, a graduate student who is part of the campus group Students Against Private Police. Joining us now is David Tejeski, Director of Public Safety at Villanova University in Pennsylvania. He also represents the Mid-Atlantic region on the board of directors of the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you.
You have a broad view of what public and private campuses around the country are doing with regard to security. What trends are you seeing?
We're certainly seeing a trend where more campuses are becoming sworn and armed agencies, particularly among the private schools.
And why?
Well, I think certainly the trend of more active shooters has gotten the attention of college administrators, and really, you know, has caused them to do a more thorough analysis of their needs in terms of protection, and also, you know, the expectations that college administrators have for their campus police or security department.
Well, when you say their expectations of their campus security, I'm not quite sure I understand the implication of that.
So, you know, if you are an unarmed department comprised of security officers and an active shooter situation starts, what are your expectations for what those guards are going to do in the 5 to 10 minutes or however long it takes for armed police to arrive? In most cases, those officers are going to be forced to, you know, shelter like everyone else to some extent. And, you know, that in other ways they can be helpful in terms of locking the campus down, setting up staging areas and doing other things. But the research on active shooters, you know, suggests these incidents don't stop until armed police arrive. And so, you know, I think people really question how effective an unarmed security guard is.
Looking at crime in general, what are the benefits of having a sworn officer force on campus?
Having police officers on campus in general has benefits. For example, in many states, private security guards can't use emergency equipment, meaning lights and sirens, to respond more quickly to calls. If you expect your security force to respond quickly to emergencies and they're sitting in traffic without the ability to use lights and sirens, what does that say about your response capabilities? Another advantage is having access to criminal justice databases and criminal justice intelligence systems. And I guess finally, one of the most important factors is access to 911 radio frequencies. You know, if in a situation where there's a non-sworn security force, most of the time those officers aren't going to have direct radio communication with 911 centers or responding police officers. So you can imagine in the chaos of a mass shooting that the campus police dispatcher, you know, there are cases where at times by phone is trying to reach the 911 center to convey information. It's obviously more cumbersome than having direct radio communication.
Why is there pushback? What are the cons of a sworn force?
You know, I think that there are legitimate concerns, and I think human error is certainly a concern. There's a gun in every situation when there's an armed officer there, and so there's always that possibility of a mistake, of the officer losing control of his weapon. That's a big concern. Obviously, actions taken out of racial bias is another big concern.
I appreciate your walking us through it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
David Tejeski is Director of Public Safety at Villanova University in Pennsylvania and serves on the Board of Directors of the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators as Mid-Atlantic Regional Director. Earlier, we heard from Johns Hopkins University President Ronald Daniels and graduate student Andrea Fraser, who's part of the campus group Students Against Private Police. We've got some links at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Kast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!